20, book of Exodus, chapter 20. We've been leading up to the Ten Commandments, and we have arrived at the first commandment, which we read in verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The scope of the first commandment is to direct us to the right object of worship. The second commandment gives us the means and ways of worship. The third commandment gives us the character of worship. Fourth commandment, of course, gives us special time of worship. But here we see the object of worship. Thou shalt have no other God before me. And the truth is, if the first commandment received the reverence and obedience that it demands, obedience to the other nine would just be a matter of course. If we obey the first commandment, we will obey the others. So this commandment is foundational. It is the foundation of the other nine. It is also not only the foundation, but it is the spirit in which we are to obey the other nine. It is the attitude that we are to have as we look at all the commandments. But not only that, it serves as the principal and primary feature of life. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Life would be so much easier. All the clutter would be taken care of if thou shalt have no other gods before me. So this not only is the object of worship, but we have stated here the very principle. The principal issue, the primary issue of life is God. The first thing we want to do is look at the requirements of the command. We'll do this with each of the commands. We'll look at the requirements of the command, the prohibitions of the command. Again, each one of the commandments has an affirmative and a negative. The negative is included in the affirmative and the affirmative in the negative. For example, in the first commandment, the negative is expressed, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The affirmative would be, thou shalt have me only for God. Now that's implied. That is implied in thou shalt have no other gods before me. Implied is, thou shalt have me only for God. So you have, again, the negative, you have the affirmative. And that seems so very simple. And it's amazing how many people don't see that. Thou shalt have me only for God is what he is saying here. So if we don't have him only as God, we've broken the commandment. And not only have we broken the commandment, but we have left ourselves wide open to break the others also. Because this is a foundational commandment. I guarantee you, if you break the first commandment, you've broken some of the others as well. So this commandment, there's several requirements of this commandment. The commandment requires that we know God. How can you not put anything before him if you don't know who he is? So the commandment requires that We know God. We know God. Now, the heart and mind of man should be very clear, very distinct concerning God. Psalm 46 and verse 10, the Lord says, "Be still and know that I am God." Now, those first two words, "be still," requires us not to have anything else before Him. Be still. Concentrate, focus on God, and know. And know that I am God. Know who I am. Know my person. So the first commandment requires that we know God. The first commandment tells us that God can be known. If we are required to know God and yet God cannot be known, that would put us in a hopeless situation. But God can be known. And we read in Job 22 and verse 21, "Acquaint, familiarize yourself, acquaint now thyself with Him. The result is, and be at peace." Acquaint now thyself with Him, make yourself familiar with God, and be at peace. Hosea 6 and verse 3, "Then shall ye know if ye follow on to know the Lord." So God can be known, and I can know Him. Since I can know Him, I am to pursue a knowledge of God. So this first commandment requires that we know God. If we don't know who God is, then once again, how can we know if we're putting something ahead of Him? We have to know who He is to obey this first commandment. Now, to know God is, again, as we've said many times, it goes way beyond just knowing that He exists. Many believe in a God. They believe what they refer to as a higher being. Just to know God is much more than that. It is to have some understanding of who He is. Now, the world today, even those who say, "Yes, I believe God, I believe that there's a God," but you engage in conversation with them, they have no understanding whatsoever of who He is. But to know God is to have an understanding of God. It's to recognize Him. How many people say that they believe in God, they believe that there is a God, yet they don't recognize Him in any aspect of their life? Well, that's kind of foolishness. That's kind of foolish to say, "Yes, I believe that there's one who has my very being in His hand, but I don't pay any mind to Him." Well, that's foolish. So this knowledge is a recognition of God in our life. It means that we have some comprehension. Again, we cannot fully comprehend God because of His perfection, because of His being. But we're to have some comprehension of who He is, some grasp of who He is. So when the Bible speaks of knowing God, it's speaking of something far more than merely knowing about God. It speaks of something more than an intellectual knowledge. It speaks of something more than a religious knowledge of God. It speaks something more of than a theory and a doctrine about God. I believe that we are to strive to be as doctrinally sound about God as we possibly can. But you can be doctrinally sound about God and still not know Him. So it goes beyond a theological knowledge of the Lord. So you think about an intellectual knowledge, you think about a religious knowledge of God, you think about a theological knowledge of God. All of those forms of knowledge can still leave you and I detached from who God is. And if we're detached from who God is, guess what? We're going to put other gods before Him. We're going to break this commandment. This commandment is telling us, do not be detached from God. Do not be indifferent. You can have an intellectual, a religious, or a theological knowledge of God and yet be quite indifferent toward God. But this first commandment requires that we know Him in such a way that we're not detached from Him and that we're not indifferent toward Him. If we're indifferent toward God, we're going to put other gods before Him. So when the Bible speaks of knowing God, it's referring to this understanding, a recognition, a comprehension. And it results in a confidence in God, an assurance of who God is. It is a conviction about God. You can talk to most of the world today who claims to believe God, and you will soon find out that they have no conviction whatsoever concerning who He is. And these people are really pretty easy to talk to because you can explain to them your conviction concerning God. Gives us a certainty concerning the person of God. But this commandment requires that we know God. And of course, the obvious is that the commandment requires that God have the preeminence. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. He is first. He is to be preeminent. God does not state specific times in which this commandment, He doesn't say, at this situation, you shall not have any other gods before Me, and in this situation. It's in all situations, every single day, 24/7, thou shalt have no other gods before Me. I dare say we break this command every single day of our lives. To put anything ahead of God is to break the command. Now again, it has its foundation in, I am the Lord, thy God. And because I am the Lord, because I am God, because I am the Lord, thy God, I am number one. That's what He's saying in this first commandment. I am number one. You must keep Me number one. Again, He does not limit it to certain circumstances. I am number one in all circumstances, every day of the week, no matter what else is going on, I am number one. I must be foremost. I must be foremost one in your thoughts. I must be foremost in your activities. I must be foremost. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. It is stating, when He says, I am the Lord thy God, and then He follows it with, thou shalt have no other gods before Me, is He not saying, I am the most important one? That's what He's saying. I am the most important one. Well, what if? Doesn't matter. I am the most important one. That's always true. Again, 24/7, that is true. I am the most important one. And if He isn't, that is when the other commands are broken. When we disregard the Sabbath or mistreat the Sabbath, I'll tell you why that is. It's because other gods have been put before Him. We've broken the first commandment. If you go out and you commit adultery, you've put something else. You've put that person ahead of God. So again, if God is not the most important, we're going to break the other commands. You can't just break this command and be guiltless concerning the others. If you break this command, again, I guarantee you, you are guilty of breaking some of the others as well. So, again, this is foundational. And especially in the day in which we live, it is rare. It is extremely rare in those who profess salvation for God to be consistently number one. And it's rare. But this is the very first commandment. Now, most Christians look at the first commandment and they think, oh, I'm innocent. Far from it. Far from it. He is saying, I am the supreme one. Nothing else is to be before me. I am the predominant one. I am the central one. I am the main focal point. I am the purpose. I am the object. I am the aim of your life. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So it is the duty of the first commandment for God to be number one. For God to be the chief end of our life. And it does not work to say, well, most of the time God is. But you see, those other times when He isn't, the first commandment is broken. The first commandment is broken. And if you're not careful, you can become so accustomed to breaking the first commandment, it becomes your life. You put one God ahead of God, and pretty soon you'll have two and three and four and five. And pretty soon, God doesn't matter at all. God becomes a matter of convenience or a matter of emergency. And again, such is offensive to God. God is never, under any circumstance, to come next. Never. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So what he's saying is, in every aspect and area of your life, I must be first. I am never to be second. Never. Never am I to be second. I am always to be first. So in considering this first commandment, again, consider what led up to the commandment in the preface. I am the Lord thy God, stating who He is. And in the first commandment, when He says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, what He's saying is, there is none like me. And because there is none like me, you are not to put anything, anybody, ahead of me. That means we're to consider God first in everything we do. People would not make the decisions they make if they considered God at all. They wouldn't do it. You don't just go to a lake on Sunday if you're considering God. It doesn't work that way. If you get up and you're considering God, you're not just going to go out in the lake and blow off church, blow off the Lord's Day. You don't make those kind of decisions if you are obeying the first command. So the first commandment is, there's none like me. We have to believe that. We have to believe that. That has to be our conviction. There's none like God. There's nothing more important than God. That needs to be our conviction. Not just something that we hear. That needs to be a conviction, where it becomes a way of life. Now notice in Exodus chapter 8, considering that there's none like Him. And again, this is foundational that we know this. And God constantly is bringing this to our attention. In Exodus 8 and verse 10, and He said, tomorrow, and He said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. that we may know that. There's none like God. Oh, come with, we're going to have a great time today. Well, I have church, but we're going to have a great time. This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Well, yeah, I guess I will. Where's the conviction that there's none like Him? Yes, you may have a great time, but there's none like God. And I'm going to go worship Him. Well, Pastor, you got to understand, this is once-in-a-lifetime. No, I don't understand. I understand some things. I understand that you've put another God ahead of God. And I understand that you think something else is more enjoyable than God. I understand that. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 11. Exodus 15, verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? In Deuteronomy chapter 33, Deuteronomy 33, and verse 6. I've got a wrong verse there. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 22. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 22. Wherefore, thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee. Then notice what it says. Neither is there any God beside thee. None. There's none like thee. There's none you can compare to God. There's none equal. God is always better. God is always better. God is to all, and that is the foundation of our conviction, that God is to be first. God is always to be first. You cannot go wrong. You cannot go wrong putting God first. It's not possible. You put God first, and your life will be wonderful. Now, people, well, you know, once again, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Do you realize what I might lose? Do you realize what you lose every time you put something ahead of God? The loss is tremendous. Psalm 89, verse 6. For who is in heaven? Who is in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord. I mean, if you were to even get into heavens and all the sinless angels, they can't compare to God. The golden streets can't compare to God. All the beauties of heaven can't compare to God. And yet people think that there are things on this earth that they just got to have. Well, the things in heaven don't even compare to God. Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? Well, you know, it's this family member. This will be the only time I'll be able to see him in years. And, you know, God understands. Of all the sons of the mighty, there's none to compare to God. And your relative don't compare to him either. Doesn't compare. Don't put things in competition with God. Don't allow the world to put things in competition with God. Don't allow your loved ones to make you feel guilty. Well, you know what? We only have a family reunion once a year. So, have it a different day. You want me there? Have it a different day. The very fact that you're having it on Sunday tells me you don't want me there. And then if you say, well, you know, it is a family reunion, I'll go. Well, now, don't try to take a stand later down the road. You've blown it. You've blown it now. And you've taught your family, that family's more important than God. Isaiah 40, verse 18. To whom Then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto him? So in light of all these verses that we just read, nothing is to compete with God. That's what the first commandment is saying. The first commandment is teaching us that life is to be all about God. The first commandment requires a commitment. It requires a commitment to God. And if we do not commit to God, we will commit to another God. Because we have been created to be ruled. We will be ruled by something. Maybe our own flesh. But we will be ruled by something. And therefore we must commit to God. This first command requires many things, and we'll begin to look at these next week and in line with the fact that God is first. God is to be the preeminent one. He is to be our object in life. Again, it's no accident that the commands are presented in the order that they are presented. Why wasn't the first command mentioned last? Because it is the foundation. It is the foundation. It's not the roof. It's the foundation of the other commands. And therefore it is put first. Why do the first three commands relate to God specifically? Because unless you get that right, nothing else is going to work. The order is very, very specific. God must be first. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We pray, Lord, that you would help us, help each one of us. Lord, we know we all have the struggle, and we just pray that you'd help us to put you first, that we would have no other gods before thee. Lord, that you would put in our hearts a desire for you to be first all the time. And we do thank you, Lord, that you are a God. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. Lord, we just pray that you would help us now to worship you in a way that would bring honor and glory to your name. Pray for the lost, Lord, that you'd speak to their hearts this day. Draw each one of us that know thee closer to thee. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.